There is complete consonance between Gustav Landauer and Alice. What if, in those decades of horror since he put out that challenge, what if tenderness had absorbed the left rather than power's agenda of raping the planet, production, development, growth, progress? Of course, always their definitions, as they are in the driver's seat. It might be useful to consider the political significance of tenderness. In light of the Hitler quote we read last week, Hitler said, quote, "My pedagogy is hard. What is weak must be hammered away. In my fortresses of the Teutonic Order, a young generation will grow up before which the world will tremble. I want the young to be violent, domineering, undismayed, cruel. The young must be all these things. They must be able to bear pain. There must be nothing weak." And of course, these guys see tenderness, love, as weak. Their mistake. Or gentle about them. The free, splendid beast of prey must once again flash from their eyes. I want my young people strong and beautiful. That way I can create something new. All those children sacrificed on the altar of this man's misguided notions. We must consider in more depth the lies the power guys tell their children as part of our strategy for getting free. What would an authentic road to socialism be, we asked. A question which, after having read Anti-Systemic Movements and a bit of Kropotkin and now Alice, can be seen in an even richer context. But did we really need to go through that process of analysis, proceeding methodically, step by step, in order to establish that what we've been told is the only other option to uncontrolled power, this variously defined but usually statist concept of socialism, isn't? That rather, we simply need to flesh out globally our picture of freedom. Or have critical thoughts for establishing our freedom been suppressed? And granted, we needed Nikola Tesla, that is to say, our global advantage. For instance, consider this from Eric Fromm's The Sane Society. Quote, Russia was the exact opposite of Germany in 1917. She was industrially the most backward of all the, quote unquote, I'm afraid, my honored, a lot of the ancestors we depend on now, you know, accepted some notions that we can now shove into their little dustbin of history. I hated, I shouldn't even use the word history as a legitimate concept in their sense. In any case, she was industrially the most quote unquote backward of all the European great powers. I want to say quote unquote, but let me stop. I'll not get through. Just emerging from a semi-feudal state, even though her industrial sector in itself was highly developed and centralized, the sudden collapse of the Tsarist system had created a vacuum, so that Lenin, disbanding the only other force which could have filled this vacuum, the Constituent Assembly, hoped to be able to jump directly from the semi-feudal phase into that of an industrialized socialist system. However, Lenin's policy was not a product of the moment. It was the logical consequence of his political thinking, conceived many years before the outbreak of the Russian Revolution. He, like Marx, believed in the historic mission of the working class to emancipate society, but he had little faith in the will and ability of the working class to achieve this aim spontaneously. Is this not extraordinary? as we stop now to ponder it. It reminds me of Mao saying that he had 20 million people at his beck and call. And here, let's not forget what Karl Popper tagged this. He called this phenomenon historicist, to which we appended the shorthand thought leading reality, i.e., we have been along for the ride. While these power guys, these power-hungry historicists, determined to be world historic, or else just sink their thought in that which is, use us as the raw material for creating something new, as Hitler said. But let's let Popper speak for himself.